Hi, friend. If you love the information you hear in the podcast, then you will love the free mini series of videos that I've put together just for you. It's all about the biblical blueprint for health and teaches you exact principles I've taught to thousands of Christian women that result in weight loss, better sleep, increased energy, clearer skin, and sharper brains. You can go to thechristiannutritionist.com/miniseries to grab this free set of short, powerful teachings that will show you how to create better health God's way. It's at thechristiannutritionist.com/miniseries. Go check it out now. Hi, I'm Chelsea, the Christian Nutritionist. Welcome to the Christian Health Club podcast. We are here to fire you up in spirit, mind, and body so that you can get out into the world and be everything God created you to be. Welcome to the club. Here we go. Hello, my friend. Welcome back to the club. How are you today? I cannot believe we have never done an episode specifically addressing headaches and migraines when it affects so many people, but we're going to do one today. I recently shared how I was getting horrible hormonal headaches that would take me down for like 3 days, and it took me a while to figure out what to do. But they were so debilitating and oppressive, and it really affected the way I showed up or did not show up, you know, to my family, to my work. All I wanted to do was get in bed and close my eyes because the pain just felt so bad and nothing was helping. It was miserable. And it took me a while to, you know, get that figured out. And I know there are so many people who always feel like that and suffer with chronic headaches and migraines. And it just hurts my heart because what we're all about here is feeling well so that we can serve well, so that you can show up into everything God has called you to be. And that is just so much harder to do when you're feeling terrible. It's why I am so glad we have today's guest, Dr. Meg Mill, to talk us through how to get to the root cause of chronic headaches and migraines. She is a functional medicine practitioner, a doctor of pharmacy, and the host of A Little Bit Healthier podcast. Welcome, Dr. Meg Mill, to the Christian Health Club podcast.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. We have so much to dive into. I have so many questions. But let's start, if you don't mind. I know you are a doctor of pharmacy. Tell us kind of your journey from your training into more of a holistic approach. And I've heard you say you've had your own health issues along the way, and just kind of give us that picture.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and that is, you know, a lot of us have this, our own personal journey, and that's what happened for me. So I graduated with a doctor in pharmacy, and then I did a residency. And I worked in clinics and in hospitals as a clinical pharmacist. And I knew all the protocols. I knew why people were on certain medications. We were putting them on those for a reason. And I kind of had a change in two prongs. One, I started to see, okay, no one's getting better. We're just getting on more and more medications. We're just sort of at this place where we're managing things, but we're not really talking about how to reverse and change. So that's what I was seeing professionally. At the same time, I was having a lot of personal health issues, and we moved around a few times at the time. And so I would move somewhere and I'd go to a new doctor. I'd go to a gastroenterologist because I'm having a lot of stomach issues. I would go to different physicians and they would say, like, you're fine. You look great. You look like a picture of health. And I got to the point where I really couldn't even eat. I was having all of these reactions. I was having terrible stomach pain. I was having headaches. I was having a lot of anxiety. And we'll kind of get into histamine as really an issue behind a lot of these things. And I think for me, I was a kid with a lot of allergies. I had histamine intolerance and I didn't know it. I have genetics that are actually set up that way. So I had these issues that were just growing and growing and growing, and no one was giving me answers. So it wasn't really until I found functional medicine and I started diving into research and doing all of these things for myself that I'm like, wow, I actually feel better. It's actually making a difference. So I really, once I started to see this dramatic change in my own health, wanted to see that for other people. So I went back and I did the Institute of Functional Medicine. I did some other functional medicine programs, and I got certified in functional medicine and then opened up a practice. So now I have a virtual practice where I see people all over the world and really get to see these health transformations. I mean, in so many areas. And really, the reason I really love to talk about migraines and work with so many, particularly women with migraines, is because it's just life-changing. I mean, I see people that go from daily migraines to being able to go out there and live their lives when they were told there's nothing they can do, and they're so normalized, and they shouldn't be, because there's so many things we can do.
Yeah, you know, in thinking about doing this podcast with you, it made me just recall when I was growing up and my mom being just sick with migraines, and she would be in bed for several days. And I can remember going in there in her dark room, like, "Mom, you know, can I bring you a wet washcloth for your head?" And, you know, like all these things, so sad. And, you know, she turns out, you know, she's had terrible gut issues and stuff, but, you know, this is a lot of years ago when nobody was talking about this and nobody really, you know, knew any kind of approach except medication. And so it's so important. And, you know, like I was saying in my intro, and like you're saying, like, yeah, it is so transformative, because headaches and migraines will take you down. They really will. They're so debilitating. So, well, let's kind of start just at the kind of base here, because, you know, headaches are one thing, migraines are one thing. So let's just kind of stair step our way through these. What are different types and causes of headaches? I guess, I don't know, I was going to say maybe start with kind of the simplest forms and then move out, but none of them are probably simple, but just maybe some more common things, that reasons that we get headaches.
Yes. So, you know, we're kind of looking at patterns here. And when I'm working with someone, I don't actually totally distinguish, you know, because some people say, well, I get migraines versus I get headaches. And it's like, well, we can work on both. They have a little bit of a different mechanism, which, you know, really different things that can cause them, and they may have different presentation, but we really are seeing head pain. So when we're talking about headaches, they're often caused by things like stress, tension, dehydration, eye strains, skin issues. You know, we can see them structurally. And we're often, a lot of times when you're thinking of that typical headache, you're really thinking of more of that like band pain across your forehead. They don't have a presentation. They can be short. They can be long. There's no pattern to it. So on the other hand, when we're looking at migraines, we're looking at more of things like, we can see stress again. We can see sinus and congestion. We'll talk about that histamine connection. But we also see hormonal changes. We see certain foods that can trigger them. We can see other inflammatory things like food sensitivities, environmental factors. And we're going to see more of a specific presentation when we see migraines. Now, the pain can be different. A lot of people have a throbbing pain on one side. It can be both sides. We often will see an aura. So people will have an aura before. It can last 4 to up to 72 hours. And when we're talking about migraines, a lot of people feel better when they stay still, when they are in dark. So you can be very light sensitive when it comes to migraines. So you're really looking more of that presentation to it, you know, see if you're having the migraine. But at the same time, you don't have to be having a migraine to actually, you know, feel better from some of the things that we're talking about.
Okay. Okay. So then when somebody comes to you and looking to, you know, like, I have headaches. So you're asking them kind of for pattern, what are the symptoms associated with it? And then trying to kind of discern from there what to do, or do you kind of have an approach? I know you have an approach. You work with people. I know you have a program, right, that kind of addresses all of this. So tell us some about that and how you go about doing that. This.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, really we're doing this whole detail. When I work with someone one-on-one, we're doing this whole detailed intake where we're looking at everything that's happened in your life history. Okay, what are all the I say it's there's over 50 different causes for headaches. So it's almost like a web that we're unwinding, and we're saying, okay, here are all the causes, but it's what's unique to you. So when we look at it from a functional perspective, we're looking at all of these, we say, root causes. There's never usually just one cause. So we're putting all the causes together. when we're looking at it from a conventional approach, a lot of times they're saying, okay, what medication are we going to use to treat your pain? So that is sort of the mainstay of conventional treatment. What medication can we use to decrease the pain so that you're not having pain when you get the headaches? But that really doesn't do anything to say, okay, we're not going to get the headaches anymore. So that's what we want to do. We want to look at, okay, we want to decrease the severity and the intensity and the incidence of your headaches. And what we start to see first generally is that the severity goes down and then the incidence. That's the pattern I generally see when I'm working with people. So we're thinking, what are all of these things that can be connected? So we're going to look at you as a whole body. And so in my program, I have what we call the EAT method. We enlighten all of the triggers. So we're working on enlightening all of the triggers, which we can get into. And then we want to align the body. So we want to make sure that we're dealing with regulating our circadian rhythm, that we're dealing with actually being able to bring our body back into the parasympathetic nervous system, that we're getting our hormones balanced, all of those things. And then we set up to thrive. So then we need to sometimes work on things like detoxification and different issues that help us to thrive in the future. But the first thing that I want to do is really look at some of these triggers and in root causes for headaches. Do you want me to get into some of them?
Yes, please do. Because I think a lot of people just truly, they're just not aware. They don't even really question why they might be getting a headache. They just go straight for the cabinet and pop the Advil or the Tylenol or, you know, whatever pain medication they have.
Yes, absolutely. So the first two that I'm going to tell you are very basic, but very important. So the first one is dehydration. And so you have to make sure that you're staying hydrated. So we want to actually also, when it comes to headaches and migraines, look at it at staying hydrated at a cellular level. So we want to really think about drinking enough water and how are we drinking water? Are we drinking it all at one time? Are we drinking it at meal times? We want to really make sure that we're staying hydrated at this cellular level. So it's actually better to sip water through the day. So one thing, you know, maybe when you're working, have your water bottle or have your glass of water sitting by your desk and just make sure you're sipping through the day. You may want to take electrolytes in order to really get the hydration into your cells. Sometimes people can have low electrolytes and they're not absorbing enough water. So that is one thing that you can just start to do every day is think, how much water am I actually drinking? I know it sounds basic, but it's one of those foundational things that can be important.
I know it's such a basic thing, but so many people don't get enough water. And, you know, that is the first thing I always ask my kids when they tell me, you know, they have a headache. Have you had enough water? Have you had any electrolytes? And so I think that is always a first go-to. And even if it's not a dehydration headache, the headache, you probably just need to check in with yourself and make sure you're drinking enough water as it is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's next?
Yes, I know. And I mean, it is. It's one of those foundational things, but sometimes we have to look at those before we go deeper. So the next thing is sleep. So there's actually studies of increased migraines when we don't get enough REM sleep. So you have to make sure, are you, you know, putting a mirror up and saying, like, are you actually sleeping? Are you prioritizing sleep? Are you staying up late? Do you have your phone in your room? Or, you know, if you wake up, what do you do to go back to sleep? And what's the environment that you're sleeping in? So we know that there is an increase in headaches when we don't get enough sleep. So that's why those are just foundational things that you can really start every day in your life to start to pay attention to. And then let's move on to food, because food can be very complicated when it comes to migraines. Now, we, you know, in general, pulling out inflammatory foods, increasing fruits and vegetables, getting the basics, which I'm sure you talk about all the time, you know, that we know. But there's very specific foods that can trigger migraines. And then there's also food sensitivities that can be individual. So we kind of put food with migraines in two buckets. First, we look at the common foods. And so we're looking at foods with tyramine, which can be like aged or cured foods. We're looking at histamine foods, which can be sometimes surprising. So things like avocado, bone broth, bananas, things that are healthy that you think, oh, okay, I'm eating these in my diet, you know, on purpose. Those can be histamine producing foods. And so those could be triggers. We also, things like nitrates. So those are things like hot dogs, MSG, which is in a lot of prepared foods, some people have issues with salicylate. So those are things like citrus, lemons. So some of these foods, like I'm saying, might be not foods that you're really thinking about when you're thinking about a general healthy diet. So what's even a little bit more complicated is that we also look at threshold. So you're getting the pain over a certain threshold. So we're looking at what it, think of like, okay, you're piling up blocks till you get to that threshold. And what is all together those blocks stacking up that are making you reach the threshold? And so sometimes it's combinations or amounts of these foods. So that's why a lot of people, I use wine as an example, because wine has histamine and tyramine. And so some people will say, okay, well, it's not wine for me, because sometimes I can have a glass of wine and I'm fine. And other times I have a glass of wine, I have a terrible headache. So, but it's sometimes I'm fine. So it's not the wine. Well, could it be the wine with some aged cheese in the time of maybe when you're ovulating and you have more estrogen in your body, so you have more histamine in your body? Like, where are all of these things that are piling up that are creating that perfect storm for you to actually get the headache? So it's really about becoming your own detective and unpacking some of these things in order to figure out, okay, what are your individual triggers? Because they're not going to be the same for everyone. Because then we also have another bucket of food, which are food sensitivities. So food sensitivities are IgG food sensitivities. And these happen when you start to get what we call leaky gut. When your intestinal lining becomes permeable, we start to get our food in bigger particles than are intended breaking through that gut lining. We start to get this immune response, which can cause inflammation, which can cause the headaches or the migraines. And it's very interesting, because I don't do food sensitivity testing with everyone I work with, but I very often do it with people that have migraines, because I have seen a huge difference in people just pulling out certain foods that really can make a huge difference in their migraines.
Oh, that is all so interesting. I'm sure a lot of ears perked up when you started talking about wine, aged cheese. It did for me. I'm like, oh, yeah, because those are two of my favorite things. I love those.
Yes.
And so interesting how you talk about like the bucket, because yeah, that's so true. I mean, a lot of people may not realize or notice it because, like you said, they're eating a lot of those are healthy foods. And maybe it's just maybe 1 month, or at some point you're just having a combination of those, like too many of those over a, you know, 2 or 3 days time, and you get a whopper of a, you know, headache or migraine, and then sometimes you're fine. And so how do you have, I'm sure you have people keep some kind of food journal, I guess, if you're looking for those triggers, and then you're kind of going through and trying to pull those out and see what they might be.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that the listeners can just start to do I have systems in place for people to support them, but one of the things that you can just do is even print out a blank calendar. And when you get a migraine, write down what happened, 24 to 48 hours before that headache. So what did you eat? What time of the month was it? Did you sleep? Were you hydrated? Were you under more stress? Did you travel? You know, what's going on in that time period when you're actually getting the headache? And then start to look for connections, because once you start to see that, sometimes you'll just start to see, oh, wow, there's just been so many people I work with that, you know, are so surprised, because they just are shocked, like, oh, I'm seeing this connection. I never thought that I was reacting to lemons, or I never thought it was olives, or, you know, there's all these foods that come up, or I can eat a certain amount of nuts, but when I go over that, that's whenever I start to get it. So, or certain combinations. So it's just enlightening. It's something that you don't have to, I know people get very overwhelmed about food tracking, and it's not something necessarily that you have to do every single day, everything you eat. But if you could just start to really start to look at that around when you're actually getting the headaches, if you get them every day, it's a little bit harder to do. You might need to, you know, track a little bit more, but often people won't have them all the time. They'll just have them at certain times of the month or week, you know, certain days of the week. So we can start to look for patterns.
Mm-hmm. Well, since we're talking about kind of certain days of the month, let's talk about cycle related headaches, because that is what I was having. And it took me about a year to really figure out, you know, how to overcome it. But what is, and I know kind of I figured out what the cause was for me, but what is, you know, why is that a thing? What is the relationship with that?
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that go into the hormonal migraines, and that's probably the most common pattern for women to have. And so it's really most often, and sometimes it is low estrogen, but most often it's an estrogen dominance picture. And this happens for a lot of different reasons. You know, so you're most often going to see this happen in that PMS window in the time right before your period, because you're supposed to have estrogen and your higher progesterone than estrogen, they're dropping. So you can get it from estrogen dominance. You can also get it from a rapid drop in estrogen, like a rapid swing in hormones. And so that's another reason why we sometimes will see it at ovulation. And so when we have, there's some different connections with prostaglandins and different things that are happening that can create more pain. But the other thing that happens is the relationship with estrogen and histamine. And so estrogen and histamine have a synergistic relationship. So when you have more estrogen, your body's going to make more histamine. It's actually going to release histamine from your mast cells. So histamine's released from our mast cells, and that comes out in our body. Now, we think of histamine a lot of times as nasal congestion, allergies, things like that. But you actually have four different types of histamine receptors, and they're all over your body. And so you have to be able to process the histamine and break it down. And so we do that in two ways. We do that in our gut with thiamine oxidase. That's an enzyme that breaks down histamine. And then we also have to methylate it. We use a enzyme called histamine N-methyltransferase. So you have to be able to methylate well in order to break down histamine too. And when we have higher levels of estrogen again, that actually will decrease thiamine oxidase production and ability, so which actually can increase histamine. So you're seeing, so estrogen can release histamine from the mast cells. It makes it harder to break down. So there's all these synergistic relationships. Progesterone actually helps you use thiamine oxidase. So that's sometimes why when people are pregnant, their headaches go away. So we see this different relationship. The other thing that I often see is when we have to be able to metabolize our estrogen. So sometimes you don't even necessarily, if you go to your doctor, you're often going to get an estradiol level. That's what they draw in the blood. And sometimes we don't even have high estradiol when we're looking. I use a test called the Dutch test, because histamine metabolism plays a huge, estrogen metabolism plays a huge role here. And we have to make sure that estrogen's being broken down right. And so it's very common that we see an increase in a 16-OH metabolite of estrogen. So when we think of estrogen, you want to think of use it and lose it. You want to have enough estrogen to have it do all the functions that it needs to do. And then you want it to be able to process out of your body. But when it goes down some of these metabolites, it's pathways to these metabolites that won't clear, estrogen's hanging around and it's not leaving your body. And some of these metabolites, like the 16-OH, are actually more estrogenic than estradiol itself. So you're getting the effects of estrogen even if your estradiol looks low. And in those cases, we have to actually shift the pathway of how you metabolize your estrogen in order to clear it from your body. I know that's a lot of information, but there's different things that come up at different times. But really, we need to be able to get you to metabolize the estrogen.
Well, hormones are just kind of complex. That's just the nature of them. And I love the Dutch test, and I love it. Two reasons. One, because of what you're talking about, the way it shows you the estrogen metabolites, and also the way it shows you how you're metabolizing cortisol. So helpful. Love the Dutch. But that is so interesting. Well, what I figured out for me was, for my hormonal headaches, was that I had relative estrogen dominance, which means that I had too much estrogen in relationship to progesterone. And so after I tried so many things, I tried anything over the counter. I was so miserable. I was like, I don't even care that this is dirty, you know, like a over the counter medication. I mean, I tried every essential oil. I drank more water. I tried over the counter medications. I tried antihistamines. I tried SPMs. I tried essential amino acids. And sometimes some things would work. Sometimes they wouldn't. Sometimes, you know, 1 month I might have the headache. 1 month I wouldn't. And I couldn't figure that out either. But this kind of makes sense with what you're talking about. But finally, it's when I started taking evening primrose oil. regularly, my head, they went away. I was like, thank you, Jesus. And that for me, that's what it was for me. But it took a lot of trial and error. Probably would have been better if I'd, you know, worked with you and then you could have just got there a lot quicker.
Yes. Well, you know, you can see why, and that's why a lot of people have it in this perimenopause window. So your progesterone is going to go down before your estrogen when you're in perimenopause just naturally. So we can see that from stress. We can see that from different things, but we see that naturally in perimenopause. So a lot of times your headaches will get worse in this period because you're, like you're saying, it's just a relative estrogen dominance because you actually don't have enough progesterone. So you have to see with hormones, you have to always see why there's an imbalance.
This is a random question just related to hormones. I mean, do you do a lot of, I mean, what do you think about hormonal testing when somebody is in perimenopause? This is a total personal question because like I'm in perimenopause. And I mean, our hormones are supposed to fluctuate, right? I always tell people like, I love doing a Dutch test to, you know, to see the cortisol, how you're metabolizing cortisol, and to make sure that you're metabolizing estrogen like you should be. And especially if anybody's considering doing any kind of, you know, bioidentical hormone replacement, I think you always want to, you know, check your estrogen pathways. But do you do a lot of testing in perimenopause when the hormones are supposed to be kind of in flux? I mean, what is your thought about that?
I think you just have to be really careful in that time frame about when you're testing, because our hormones are in flux and you're not getting a regular cycle. And so, you know, sometimes I even will have people use ovulation strips in that time period to see, okay, are you actually ovulating and are we getting the right timing? Because sometimes you can say, okay, 1 month it's 28 and then the next month it's 35. We start to see these changes. And so it can be hard, I think, like what you're saying, to get the right data because you're not having a regular cycle. So we have to be more consistent about really paying attention to, okay, where are we getting this? And sometimes it takes a few months even to hit it right.
Yeah, it's just a little bit trickier for sure. And you know, and perimenopause goes on for, you know, seemingly years. Forever.
It's natural. It's natural. It's like, that's where I think people are like, oh, I'm in perimenopause. I'm like, it's everyone's going to go through it. And that's the thing. Everyone is going to go through it, but you can have a much better experience if you're in tune with your body, if you're, you know, working with someone on your hormones and you're real, it doesn't have to be this terrible negative thing. It can be much more of a balanced experience.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And just, you know, like over the years, I've worked on gut health. I've worked on a lot of things and over the years where, yeah, I'm experiencing some kind of, you know, kooky fluxes, which I think is normal, but it, you know, so far it hasn't been a horrible experience. And I mean, it's just, you know I have some years ahead of me to do it, but like what you're saying, like the sooner you address all of these things. So I guess, you know, we could talk more about how gut health plays a role in all of this. You know, we kind of started that, but yeah, it's just kind of optimizing your body function as much as you can so that, you know, it's not just about addressing the headaches. That's what we're talking about today, but usually it's just a symptom of, right, something deeper that's mm-hmm. out of balance or off. And that is really the root cause that you're trying to get to. And what so many people don't make that connection and realize. Okay, so hormones, when those are, you know, a little bit more out of whack than perhaps they should be, that can be a huge cause of these headaches. So what would happen was, not to make this all about me, but I'm just thinking some people probably had the same thing, but that's interesting about the histamine connection, because what would happen is these headaches I would have would be 3 days every time, like it didn't matter. And I would get sinus along with it. And it would always be behind my left eye, hurt so bad. And I wouldn't be real super snotty, but it was just, you know, you could press your face and you could just feel all that pressure behind there. And so there would be that sinus component, which, you know, was always just a whole nother layer to it, but kind of interesting. And so what, you know, is there anything, I guess, kind of partially what I'm getting around to is there anything that we can do acutely until we while we are addressing these deeper things and figuring them out, I mean, are there any better, safer options to go to when you're just in so much pain and you were like, I don't even know what to do?
Yeah. So there are yes and no. So yes, there are things that we can do. I'm going to be quite honest and say I have worked with hundreds of women with migraines, and I've never found anything pain-wise that works as well as medication. So when you're in that acute phase, we want to try to be natural, but sometimes when you're just in that intense pain, you take the pain medication because you need to get through that moment, and that's understandable. And just give yourself grace if that's where you are, because that, it happens. Especially we have lives that we have to live, and it's really painful when you have a migraine and you're out of it. You're sometimes can't do anything else if you don't have the pain. So I haven't found anything quite as strong, but you can do things like we've had success with curcumin. So that's a natural anti-inflammatory. You can try peppermint oil if you catch it right away and rub some peppermint oil on your temples, put a cool washcloth, lay down and shut your eyes and see if you can, sometimes if you drink a full glass of water, we'll try the peppermint oil and you can catch it before it gets too bad. We can sort of actually abort some of the worst migraines. There are feverfew sometimes people use, ginger, butterbur. So there's different things that you can try, but I have never... that do help, but I've never actually found anything, like I said, that would be as strong for pain as medication.
Okay. That's good to know. And I think all of us would prefer to try something natural, but also when we are in pain, also having that grace to be like, you know what, right now I just got to take this and try to feel better. And I've certainly done that here and there as needed. So thank you for sharing that. Okay, before we kind of move on to deeper things, I had some people ask, is there any, can weather, somebody was like, what about how weather plays a role or altitude plays a role with headaches? I mean, can that really be a trigger for somebody getting a headache, like the change in the barometric pressure, something like that? Have you come across that at all?
Yeah, so that it actually is true. So it can actually have to do with how your blood vessels, like the barometric pressure changes can. So when we're thinking about migraines, we're thinking about dilation and contract. One of the components can be dilation and contraction of blood vessels. And so sometimes that can happen when people have changes in barometric pressure. Sometimes people have trouble flying. You can have trouble when the weather's changing. And so some of these things you can do, where we're looking at the threshold. So what are some of those things you can't change? So you can't change if a storm rolls into your town and the pressure's changing. But you can change your cortisol levels. You can change your hormones. You can change your diet. You can change your gut health. So if you're really bringing some of these other things down, then you're lowering your overall threshold and you're not going to be as bothered by some of the things that you can't control.
Okay. That's very good. Very helpful. Okay. Awesome. So, okay. Maybe kind of circle back around to, how you're working with people. And so we're, becoming aware of all the different triggers, definitely looking for those food connections. What other hormonal triggers? What else are we looking at? What about
you mentioned gut health?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we're looking at gut health. We can have a lot of underlying infections that are causing this. So do you have candida, which is yeast? Do you have parasites? Do you have H. pylori? Do you have other underlying things that are causing this? Do you have leaky gut? So we always want to look at your gut health. We also want to look at nutrient deficiencies. So we can see a lot of magnesium deficiencies, sometimes riboflavin, B2. We want to make sure you have good mitochondrial function because we need to have good mitochondrial function for this. And then we also want to look at our detox pathways. Do you have open, are you going to the bathroom every day? Are your detox pathways open? And are you holding on to any heavy metals? There's certain heavy metals that can trigger migraines. So are you holding on to heavy metals? Do you have mold? Are you exposed to mold? Do you have environmental allergies? Even putting air filters in your bedroom, cleaning up your environment, those kind of things can go a long way. So we're really just taking this whole life approach. We're also working on nervous system regulation because we said cortisol can play a role. So we're looking at making sure your body's back in the parasympathetic nervous system, that you're not living in fight or flight, because that's another stressor that we have on our body. Even it's tricky for people with migraines and headaches because pain is a stressor. So when we think of our schedule, we think of stress, but we also have biological stressors. Like we've mentioned some of these things, you know, with underlying gut infections, with heavy metals, with mold, with different allergens, with different things. Pain is a stressor. So we can have this fight or flight response because of other things that are going on. And so we need to really look at everything and bring our body back into balance. And so we work through one thing at a time. And that's why I do work with people on this. It does take some time. It's not a one-time visit that just fixes everything. We do work over, you know, about 6 months, I would say, to give it 3 to 6 months. Some people, we can just, okay, wow, it happens really quick and it's wonderful and they can notice a difference within 3 weeks. And sometimes people have been having headaches for years and years and years, and within a few weeks they're gone. But I would say for the majority, it takes 3 to 6 months to start to see, okay, we have this in place. Now we have to have this in place. Now we have to have this in place. So we're really looking at all these connections and sort of peeling the onion layers back till we get to a place where, okay, now we have less severe headaches. Okay, now we have less incidents, and we start to see them go down and down and down. And I'm not saying you're never going to have another headache, but we can definitely see a huge difference.
Right. I mean, it's getting a headache every once in a while here and there is very different from having them on the regular, you know, even monthly. You know, like I would get them almost every month, not quite every month. Again, I was like, why? But now what you said makes some sense. I think my threshold was probably just kind of blowing out my threshold, but it can take a while to unravel. But I like, you know, you've given a lot of ideas of things to start with, you know, like make sure we're having water, electrolytes, sleeping. You mentioned, and I never like to pass up a good opportunity to talk about poop because, you know, people would not make that connection. Like, I'm not pooping. What does that have to do with my headache? Well, you're recirculating toxins. You're recirculating estrogen. You know, you're not moving things out of the body, and they're just, you know, it's just creating this really toxic environment. And so that in and of itself could be, you know, a reason that you're getting headaches. And so, and then those other things you mentioned, you know, maybe like the salicylates and things like that. And so there's a lot that people can do, they can start with. Like, let's start with these things. Let me, you know, really work on water intake and sleep, make sure I'm pooping. Maybe I keep a journal, but it's when, you know, things are more complicated, like this hormonal component that, you know, can be tough to, you know, figure out. Like I knew some things to do. I knew what to try and, you know, I finally got it figured out, but you know, not everybody's going to kind of know what to play with there. Or, you know, gut health and, you know, unraveling gut issues. Yeah, that can certainly, you know, take a little bit. So just setting those realistic expectations for people, if you've done kind of all those more surface things, then it's time to dig a little bit deeper. Let me ask you this, because I had a question in my community. I've had several people in my community that have had concussions. And for one, especially, you know, she gets regular migraines and she has to take medication, and she doesn't like, you know, she doesn't like that she has to take a prescription, but that's kind of where she is right now. Do you have any experience, or do you know anything about, you know, helping people post concussion with migraines? And if not, one question she had was, is there anything that she could be taking to help, she put, like, minimize the badness of the prescription? Like, you know, she's got to take this prescription. Is there something that she can do to kind of help mitigate, you know, what that prescription might be doing in her body?
So I would probably have to answer that. I probably would have to see what she, you know, like kind of know her individual situation to know, you know, to know what's going on. I have seen, definitely we've seen improvement post concussion. It just really kind of depends on where you are in your journey. So we can see, you know, sometimes that can be the trigger that starts the pattern of the chronic headaches. And so just because that triggered it, doesn't mean that you have to have that your whole life. We definitely see that you can feel better and better and better, but it really is looking at that whole picture and everything that you have going on in order to really see, okay, what do we need to do in order to get you to a new place? And sometimes depending on where you are in that journey, it does take some time for healing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And that makes sense. Okay. Let's see. Did we cover everything kind of in the way that you like to work with people and your approach? Anything else that we should talk about or cover?
I think just to have hope. I mean, I've worked, like I said, with hundreds of people who have had these chronic issues. And I do remember, you know, I'm just going to give one little story about, I have worked with someone whose father, she was a teenager, like late teens. She couldn't go to school. She had to drop out of school, was having like 5 years of chronic migraines. They had tried everything because her father was a physician. They had a lot of resources. They felt like they were at their wit's end. And they came to me and thought, okay, well, I have so many people that come to me and think, okay, we'll just give this a try. I feel like they think it's not going to work, but I'll just try it, you know? And so then I saw her mother later because she made just such a huge difference. And she said she was able to live her life. Like, she moved to England. She was having this like beautiful life that she could actually go back to school, do things. She was getting married, had all of these wonderful things that happened because she wasn't living in this chronic migraine every day. And that was a pretty severe situation, but it's just something that you don't have to live with. And I think just knowing that you can get past this, that you don't, even if you're not like you're saying it was once a month, do you want 2 to 3 days a month where you're out, like knocked out? And you know, maybe that's the 3 days that you're on vacation, or that's when your child's birthday is, or something that you want to be a part of. And I feel like you feel sometimes like, I can't plan anything because I don't know when this is going to hit me. And so just have hope that it can get better.
Oh, yeah. 3 days a month came way too often for me. You know, I mean, I was like, this is not good for my life, you know, my quality of life. I have got to figure this out, you know. I mean, it doesn't sound like that often, but I know people suffer with these every day, which is exactly why I wanted to have you on, because it can be really a daily debilitating issue for people. And it hurts me to think of that. And there is hope. There are things that we can do, but yeah, it could take a while, like, you know, peeling that onion layer, like you said. You've mentioned some tests that you do. So do you just kind of assess by person? You have a group program, and then you also work one-on-one with people. Kind of explain that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have a group program called Headstrong. And so that is a program where there's modules, there's a lot of education. So it gives you the kind of the blueprint of what you need to do. And there is some testing that you can do with that program. And then I also work one-on-one, and that is more like if you want that personalized, you know, it's kind of like where you are. Do you want the education and the support? And we make huge differences in Headstrong too, but sometimes there are certain people that need to go deeper, and we need to look at a more wide variety of different tests in order to see, okay, what are my root causes? Maybe you've done some of that basic work and you really want to take a deeper dive into what's going on. And I work with people over, like I said, there's different programs, but like 3 to 6 months it usually takes with that.
Okay. And so does it just vary person by person based on their presentation, what kind of testing that you might do with them? Or do you have kind of a standard panel, I mean, that you might run? Do you do food sensitivities, gut testing, hormones, mm-hmm. like for everybody? Or what does that look like?
So for my one-on-one, it's individual because it depends on where they're coming in, what they've had done, and what is the most pressing thing for them right at that time. Two tests that I really, when it comes to migraines, that I like to run, and that they were part of Headstrong, are the food sensitivity test and the Dutch test. So those are really good clues. Like, you know, food can be huge for people. So really paying attention to what you're eating and those food triggers can be a great first step. And then you really have to make sure you're getting a good food sensitivity test, because they are not all created equal. And then, you know, really looking, there's so many women that have these hormonal imbalances. So really looking at your hormones. But it doesn't, like we're talking about all of these things, it doesn't necessarily stop there. It's just that those are two, you know, foundational common things when it comes with the migraines.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay, awesome. Well, I think this was super helpful in giving people a place to start, but also knowing that it might take some deeper work and what that will look like. And then they can certainly reach out to you to do that. Before I ask you the anchor questions that I ask all my guests, is there anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I think that we covered a lot today. So yeah, just reach out. I'd love to connect with people. So I'm over on Instagram at Dr. Meg Melch, just DrMegMill. And then I have a podcast called A Little Bit Healthier. My website is just megmill.com, which again is megmill.com. And I'd love to connect with you. I do respond personally. So feel free to reach out. Any questions you have, I'd love to support you.
Awesome. Fantastic. Okay. So the anchor questions. The first is, what is your anchor meal, which is just kind of a favorite go-to healthy meal that you have often?
Yeah, so we love this meal. It's Asian stir fry. It's just, we have Bragg's amino acid it has broccoli and onions and bok choy, and it is in some like grilled chicken in there, and it's delicious. So it's actually a family favorite. My kid, you know, it's one of those meals that your kids even love, that you're like, oh, this is so colorful and good for you and has so many vegetables, and they love it too. So that's probably our go-to.
I love when that happens. That's always such a winner when everybody likes it. That's fantastic. Okay. And how about an anchor verse, favorite Bible verse, or one that's just really, you know, hitting with you right now?
Yeah. So I picked one for this, you know, for this episode, actually, when we're talking about this. So this is Joshua 1:9, and it says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And I just felt like this was something that was powerful, a reminder of our divine support and encouragement. And that like I mentioned, I know this is a topic where people can feel discouraged and feel like there's no hope and there's a lot of pain. And when we're in pain, we need to know that God is with us, that we do have support, and that there is something that we can do. So just be encouraged and know that you can be strong and courageous. And you know what? It might take some courageous, strong effort from you, because you may have to become a little bit of a health detective. You may have to, you know, really invest in some testing to see what's going on, but you can be strong and get through this.
Yeah. And just, you know, remembering that God made our bodies so smart, mm-hmm. in that, you know, headaches, migraines, in most cases, are a symptom that something is off, you know? And I always like to remind people, it's like the body is not against you. It is just, it's the way these symptoms, these signs are the way your body communicates with you, that there's some kind of imbalance or toxic effect or something's just off. And so, like you said, being a detective and trying to figure that out, to bring the body, you know, kind of just back into this balance, this homeostasis, the way that God intended it to be. And so I love that. Thank you for sharing that verse. That was awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a healthy and blessed week, and I will talk to you soon.
Everyone, remember that my mom is an awesome nutritionist, but she's not a doctor. The information in this podcast is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. Always talk to your doctor before making changes to your nutrition or exercise program. Thanks for listening. Have a healthy and blessed week.